And the court will proceed to the sixth case, the United States v. Lopez. Mr. Carlson.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Kent Carlson, and I represent Ricardini Lopez. Judge Kaur, at the sentencing of this case, said that this case cried for a severe sentence. We didn't disagree then. We don't disagree now. The sentence that was initially contemplated by the parties and the sentence that was requested by Mr. Lopez at his sentence, a sentence of 17 years, is a severe sentence, and in this case would have been a reasonable sentence. The sentence that was imposed, the sentence of 24 years, is a sentence that is greater, is sufficient, but is also greater than necessary to accomplish the sentencing purposes set forth in 3553. This court in the Palladino decision, when questioning the government, said that they could not imagine why a 15-year sentence imposed on a 34-year-old could be thought of as unreasonably short. A sentence of 17 years, in this case, on somebody who was 31 years old, I submit is unreasonable. Judge Kaur, I submit, placed undue reliance on the guidelines in arriving at the sentence in this case. He calculated the guideline range, a guideline range that Justice Stevens called nothing more than a mere suggestion. And once he calculated that guideline range, he looked at the 3553 factors and considered them only in determining where within that guideline range the appropriate sentence should lie. And what is interesting are some of the comments that Judge Kaur made that I think suggest the sentence he imposed is unreasonable. He said that the defendant doesn't need to be thrown on the slag heap. But that's exactly what happened here. He didn't consider the factors that were raised at the sentencing hearing other than to determine that the sentence should be at the low end of the guideline range. Judge Kaur said, I think you have the potential to be a contributing member of society.
Do you have any, what was that based on? Was there some offer of evidence to him on that? I mean, what was the basis of that comment? Just some generalized comment that you say to some judges say to some defendants, Mr. Carlson?
Judge Kaur went into quite a colloquy in this case about Mr. Lopez and about Mr. Lopez and Mr. Lopez when he was on drugs.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Is it based on his assessment that because he was plagued by the drug problem that he has some potential?
I think that was part of Judge Kaur's comments. Additionally, Judge Kaur spoke of the family support that Mr. Lopez had, which Judge Kaur said was something that many of the other people who appeared before him to be sentenced didn't have, and that he had the family support. I don't think there is any question that the drug abuse that Mr. Lopez has had for virtually his entire life played a great role in this. And I think that was even acknowledged by Ms. Brown at the sentencing hearing when she said, when Mr. Lopez is off drugs, he's a sweet and kind individual. Ricardini Lopez had significant mitigating factors that Judge Kaur, as I said before, only considered in determining where within the guideline range the sentence should be. And he said that because of those factors, he was going to sentence him at the low end of the higher guideline range. I submit that Judge Kaur's sentence is improper, and that he did not fail to consider, that he failed to consider the 3553 factors in determining whether he was going to impose whatever sentence. It was only after he determined the guidelines that he used that to determine the low end of the guidelines. The net effect of what Judge Kaur did was to do that which Booker said can't be done. The guidelines aren't mandatory. He went to the guideline range, said, here's the guideline range. I'm going to consider the factors that I have to consider under 3553 to determine where within the range it is. He did not consider, and I think the record reflects he did not consider those factors in determining whether the sentence should be below the guideline range. In effect, what Judge Kaur was doing was making the guidelines a mandatory guideline range, as was the case pre-Booker, and I think that was improper.
Mr. Carlson, I may have misheard you, but I thought you said it was a 24-year sentence. It's a 21-year sentence.
Excuse me, and I may have said it. A 21-year sentence is correct, Judge. It was a four. I think I made a mistake because it's a four-year difference between the two, and I apologize to the court
for
that.
No problem.
For the reasons that I just stated and the reasons in my brief, I would ask that this court vacate the sentence imposed by Judge Kaur.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Ms. Brown.
May it please the court, my name is Tara Brown and I represent the United States in this appeal. As this court is well aware, the sentence, because it is within the guideline range, is presumptively reasonable. And upon review of the sentencing transcript, it is clear that the court took into account all factors as set forth in 3553A. As the court stated during the sentencing hearing, these crimes cried out for severe punishment. But the court also took into account the defendant's cooperation, his severe drug problem, and the related nature of offenses. And after weighing all of those factors, the court stated, and I quote, "The guidelines pretty much capture what should be done here." For counsel to suggest that Judge Kaur did not realize that he has discretion, I think misstates what Judge Kaur's understanding of Booker and the guidelines really is. Judge Kaur knew he had discretion to depart, but given his weighing of all of those factors in 3553A, he determined that a sentence at the low end of the guideline range, to which neither party objected to those calculations, was appropriate. Based on the review of the sentencing transcript and those factors that I've just discussed, unless the panel has any further questions, the government would rest on its brief at this time.
I just have one, Ms. Brown.
Certainly.
During the hearing before the judge, was any evidence offered with regard to the condition that is free or not free of drugs on January 20th? April 20th is when the crimes occurred?
Your Honor,
I want to get at why the judge is reflecting on the drug issue, particularly because I'm obviously sensitive to the argument Mr. Carlson's presented, but I want to see whether this case presents something other than, as so many other cases have, many defendants have a history of drugs, whether we should view the suggestion it should be ameliorated, this sentence, because on that day we had a defendant that was under the influence of drugs.
Your Honor, the government does point out in its brief that Mr. Lopez did test positive at the time that he was arrested in this offense for the presence of opiates. So he had a long history of drug problems, Mr. Carlson spoke of at the sentencing hearing, about which the government spoke of, about which the court took into consideration, and the court duly noted the problems that Mr. Lopez had with his drugs over the last 10 years, and those problems contributed to the fact that Mr. Lopez had a criminal history category of 6, and although he the government conceded this is a tragedy. It's a tragedy that he has chosen to use drugs and therefore commit incredibly violent crimes. And in this case, this was a violent crime. The violent nature of this offense and his criminal history in light of his drug use is what drove this criminal history category and the offense level to be what it was. And as a result, and after all of what Judge Kaur considered, we do believe that his sentence was reasonable because he took into account all of those factors.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Carlson? All right, thank you. Ms. Carlson, as in the prior case, and as in all cases where we have able representation, which you have presented today, thank you for accepting the appointment in this case. The court takes the case under advisement and stands in recess.